Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Tes Vov, the 15th chapter of the book of Iyov. This really starts the next section of the Sefer. Up till now we've seen the story, what has happened to Iyov. We've seen Iyov's reflection on what's happened to him and his three friends. First, Eliphaz, who had a prophecy to tell Iyov that in fact nobody suffers without doing iniquity. Then Bildad HaShuchi, who said that from tradition we know that there could not be an innocent person suffering. And finally Tzofer, who said through logic that Iyov needs to do Teshuvah. Iyov responded to each three in sequence. And now we begin the next section where the friends have a second round at Iyov. So now we're going to see again, this is now Eliphaz's second speech, which is Perek Tesvav. It's one chapter this time, his speech, and it's a very sharp speech. Everything they said up till now is going to be repeated, but it's going to be ratcheted up now. Also, not only is it ratcheted up in terms of content, but also in terms of tone. They feel at this point in time that Iyov was irresponsible in not listening to them. They feel that he was rejecting their good and sound advice. And what Iyov has said now contributes as further fuel for their arguments. Let's take a look at this perek. We see that he makes, essentially, in this perek, he makes five major points. Let's start. It's a little bit of a longer perek. It's 35 psukim long. We're going to look at it in the 5 points divide-ups. So the first 6 psukim are his first point, where he says, where Eliphaz interjects and he says, you know, wise people don't say anything if they have nothing to say. They'll only say things if there's something worth saying. You know what, Iyov? You destroyed yourself with your own words. You showed that you don't believe in the basic aspects of faith in Hashem. And by the way, what are those? Whether it be life after death, whether it be the idea of Bechira Chavshis, the ideas that Iyov seems to have rejected up till now. He says, you showed you don't believe in these basic axioms of faith. And the way you talked about it showed that this wasn't just simply a rash thing that you emitted from your mouth. It was a deeply philosophical, you'd thought about this for a long time, which means that deep in your consciousness is a rotten core of belief. You've showed us to us by the fact that you've argued with us in such a way. And therefore, he says in such a powerful pasuk in Pasuk Vov, Yarshiacha picho v'loy oni, usfasecho ya'anubach. I don't need to say anything to you. I don't need to accuse you anymore. You're publicly shown your hand. You showed what you really believe, and clearly it is rotten to the core. See if we understand why you're suffering now. That's pasuk, the first point. He goes on in the next 4 pasuk in Zion to Yud to make the next point, the second point. And he says, look, Iyov, you talk about your birth and you regret being born, and do you think you're the first person? Harishon Adam Tivaleid V'lifnei Gvoiz Chalalta? You think you were the first of all creations? And you can start debating HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, you know, Hashem, it would be better if I weren't born. You know, how do you have the system of justice in this world? What are you talking about, Iyov? Before you came many generations. Before human beings came the natural world around us. And you know what? No one ever complained. Everybody was just happy with their lot until you came along. Does Hashem consult you as if he needed to ask you your plans and you have your say in the matter? Do you think that you're the only human being on this planet as if your birth was the center of your anthropocentric perspective? That's the second point he makes. He moves on to his third point, Psukim Yud Aleph to Tes Zion. In this point he says, look, you claim there's no such thing as life after death because the body dies, goes into the ground, and nobody ever comes back. Well, Eve, you know you're right. You're absolutely right, but you're measuring the wrong equipment. The body may not come back, or the body may not come back in the same fashion, but the soul lives on, the soul goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The thing which is hidden in you is in fact going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing you will be able to do to stop that. So what's going to be that? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more powerful than all the, even the angels, the human beings, certainly. Do you think you're right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of this world. So how could it be that you, in a certain sense, are contradicting the basic notion of Tchias HaMesim? The fourth point, the penultimate point he makes over here, is from Psukim Yud Zion to Yud Tes. In this section, he argues that human beings, you know, Eov, you said that we live a predetermined life. We're hopeless jetsam in the life and on the river of Hashem's plans. So he re-emphasizes the point that he mentioned before, and he says we must have free will because it's our tradition. Asher chachomim yagidu, our wise men have told us. And similarly, we feel, we know, I know I have free will. I I shouldn't put me in the world where I feel that what I do, I make decisions, I make bad decisions and good decisions, and I have to live with them. There's no other force inside me which is forcing me to insult you or not, to hit you or not, to plant a tree or to cut down a tree. I'm clearly in charge. So again, he's attacking in these last two paragraphs the idea of Tchias HaMeisim, which Eov seems to quibble on, and the idea of free will, which Eov cannot believe in because of the power of the omniscience of Hashem. And finally, the last and main section of this perek is dedicated from Sukkim Chav to Lamed Hey, where in this larger section, he deals with the claim that Eov raised, which is a new claim up till now had not been mentioned, and that is, as Eov had said, if it's true that actions generate reactions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to the tzaddik what he deserves, and if he's suffering, it means to say he deserved sin, then how is it, Eov asked, that the Rishayim can be doing so well? Why do the evil prosper? That's the flip side of the question that the book has been dealing with up till now. Up till now, Eov has been primarily focused on Eov's situation, which is tzaddik v'raloi, that there's a good person, and he is suffering. What about the opposite way around, where you have Rosh HaMatovloi? You have an evil person who's doing so well. Also doesn't make sense unless you adopt Eov's perspective that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a predetermined world, and then it gets back into his so to speak, his circle we can't exit. Now, the answer that Eliphaz presents to this problem is, you know what? You're looking at it as material wealth is success. But that's not material. That's not going to be success. That's not happiness. Happiness is not, it may be apparent. It looks like these people are doing well. They have cars, houses, estates, friends, all relationships, all kinds of things going on in their lives. But they're not really happy. You know why they're not happy? Because they know that the end is nigh. They know that death is upon their doorstep. Because in this case, they know that dark is coming. This idea of darkness comes up numerous times. He gives an example. He says it's like a king who is kemelech osid lakidor, a king who's going to be, who knows is about to be besieged. He knows that Macbeth knows that the forests will come upon the horizon. We know that the moment is coming, so they live in ultimate fear the entire time. The Malbim says actually kidor refers to a torture equipment that they would kill the king in a most terrible, horrific manner and roll him around in it. So it is interesting that the seems to say that this is a king who knows that he's going to be overthrown and killed horrifically. So that's the kind of, he looks like he's powerful, he looks like he's strong, he looks like he's in charge, but you know what, he's not really. So you're asking, Rosh HaVatovla, how can it be that there's so many people who are Rishayim who are doing so well? Well, they're not really doing so well, it's going to be complicated. Now, what kind of Rosh is he referring to? So in Pasuk Chof Hei, the Rav Shua points out, Kinoto El Kel Yodoi Ve'el Shakai Yisgabar. We're referring to a person who lifts their hands against God. So we're talking about not the person who can't control their impulses and eats whatever they want or engages in whatever relationship they want. Not that kind of Rasha. We're talking about the person who, in their arrogance and their success, believes they are so independent of God that they lift their hands as if to swish away God in their lives. They don't need God in their lives. That's the kind of person. In fact, the Malbim goes on to comment on Pasuk Lamed, a refrain which keeps repeating itself of the idea of Choshech, of darkness coming to this person's life. It refers to the kind of person who's always afraid. So we need to say they look like they're living a materially successful life, but they're always afraid. Well, think about the undercurrents of what Eliphaz is really saying. He's saying, who's this Rasha? Is a person who's arrogant of God, a person who's always, therefore, in fear of the punishment of God. Well, who could that person be? What's Eliphaz really saying? Who was a person who brought karbanos for their children every single day, worrying that their children might have cursed and blasphemed God? Well, that was you, Eov. Who was the person who wasn't an indulgent person on all faces, was a person who was successful, was a God-fearing person, but deep down inside, maybe it wasn't so, maybe they lived in fear, maybe they're a person who was arrogant and rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who could that be? That's Eov. What you see Eliphaz doing over here is he's now reconstructed. In fact, it's the opposite according to what Eliphaz suggests. It's not that Eov is tzaddik v'raloi. It is, in fact, the other way around. Eov was the Rasha, the Tovloi. Eov, you lived a good life, but you know what? It wasn't because you were good. It was because that was just before the storm, and the storm finally came. So look what Eliphaz has done. He's turned the tables completely on Eov. You asked about the Rasha of a Tovloi. You are the Rasha of a Tovloi. And I understand, therefore, that's what's happening to you. And I understand this because of the claims that you made, which showed that you truly dismissed the axioms of God. What a powerful, what a devastating argument Eliphaz makes. We'll see Eov's response in Perek Tazayin. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.